Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend, an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day with your family. Today, the Church gives us one of the readings at Mass, a very important reading. I suppose you could say that every day, everything from the Scripture is important. But this passage from Ephesians chapter 2, it provides for us a powerful picture of the Christian worldview, of the biblical worldview. How does the Church, Catholic Church, understand sort of the fundamental default mode of the human race and what God has done for us? I'll read this first section and then take it apart verse by verse. We've covered this at various times over the last number of years, but I think it's something that we ought to go back to regularly. Actually, the whole letter of Ephesians is such a beautiful and powerful vision of the Church, of what Christ has done for us and what it means to be in his body, the Church. So chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1 and following. "And you he made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. And so we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." There's just so much packed into this beautiful set of verses here. So let's begin. Chapter 2, verse 1. "And you he made alive." What's at the foundation and the heart of Christianity? What's Christianity about? Is it a new philosophy? Is it mainly a new morality? What is it? Well, it's Christianity means life. One biblical scholar, Father Francis Martin, taught that time and time again, that at its core, Christianity is life. It's being brought from death to life. It's being brought from spiritual death to spiritual life. And St. Paul and other places in the scripture make the comparison. It's like a dead body being brought to life. That's what will actually happen in the resurrection. But when we're baptized into Christ, we're brought to life spiritually. And why do we need to be brought to life spiritually? Because we are in that spiritual condition. We are found dead because of what? Because of original sin. Sin has separated us from God, and humanity is in this condition that Paul will now go on to describe. "And you he made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." This is what Christianity is fundamentally about and why Jesus came. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem, which produces in every person the death problem. We're made to be united to God spiritually and ultimately through the resurrection of Jesus, because what he's accomplished in us, we'll be united to him spiritually and with glorified bodies. God's full purpose and his plan for us is revealed in Jesus. And Jesus came to deal with sin, which is why the center of his whole life led him to Calvary, the central focus of his life, the preaching of the gospel, bringing mercy and salvation and the forgiveness of sins, and bringing healing, which the healings Jesus produced, the raising people from the dead, giving sight to the blind. These were signs of the transforming power of the presence of the kingdom of God that was in Jesus. And those signs confirmed the words that he proclaimed, that something entirely new had come in him, that the kingdom of God had come, the economy of God, the purpose, the plan of God, and the power of the kingdom was on Jesus. And Jesus brought a power that the world had never fully seen, like it was revealed in Jesus. It was the power of the kingdom. Jesus is the king of that kingdom, and he came to break the power of sin that dominates human life apart from him and apart from God. And sin sickness is in the human heart, and it's writ large across human history in so many ways, in the disease, in the wars, in the crime, in the infidelities. It's present everywhere, right? No matter how rich we get or how educated we get or how organized we get, we never seem to be able, on our own strength, to deal with the reality of the sin problem. Sin, according to St. Paul here, produces death. He says we are dead in our sins. In another place in Romans, St. Paul will say, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Where does death come from? Paul says death comes through sin. All men sin, therefore all men die. So the central focus of Jesus' mission, he didn't come just to elevate us socially. He didn't come to just help us be more just or to somehow build the kingdom ourselves. Jesus came to deal with something really specific. The reality of what separates us from God and makes it literally impossible for us to be united to God and to fulfill our human destiny. Instead, we're destined not for union with God, being subject to the reign of sin, but we're under that dominion and power of sin, and that sin is being manipulated by Satan himself, who, St. John the Apostle reminds us, that the whole world is in the power of the devil, and the devil manipulates and deceives and connives, and he leads us to continue to say yes to sin so that we can die in sin. That's his goal, that we die in sin so we become slaves to him and we're eternally separated from God. So Paul has this whole framework in mind as he helps the community in Ephesus understand the reality of what Christ has accomplished for them and in them. So he said, when you were dead through your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, the term walked means the way of life, the whole way of life you lived was under sin. He says, following the course of this world, so following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. And so he identifies in just two verses here, the enemies of the human race, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus conquered all three of those powers. He didn't have a fallen nature. He didn't have the flesh as Paul describes it here. He said, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. That's the dimension of human life, that in which we are fallen and we resist God and God's command. We say, my will be done, not God's will be done. It's like a fifth column in us, a Trojan horse that connives with sin and sin that comes to us from the world. That's the fallen dimension of this good creation that God has made that's radically inconsistent powers, political, economic, social, volitional forces, dimensions of the entertainment industry, you name it. You see it, you know it. That leads us constantly to look at the world differently than God wants us to look at the world, to not see it from an eternal perspective, to suppress the truth about God, to want to say no to God and to say yes to sin. So the flesh connives with the world because the flesh wants what God tells us we can't have, ultimately. And manipulating it all is Satan himself. And so Paul points to that understanding. He said, we all followed the course of this world, that's the habit patterns of sin in the world, and the way of the world that's inconsistent with the kingdom of God. We followed the prince of the power of the air. We fell to his temptation and his seduction. We're at war against all three of these, and the war is in our members itself. He said, we followed the desires of body and mind, and here's his conclusion. And so we were by nature children of wrath. This is a word, an understanding of the human condition. It's the Christian anthropology. It's something that the world rejects wholesale. There's nothing wrong with us as human beings. It's nothing wrong with me, nothing wrong inside me, nothing I'm responsible for. To the degree that something went wrong, it's what's been put on me by others, by society. So the problem is always out there. It's not in here. Paul contradicts that. He says, we were by nature children of wrath. We're meant to be children of God. And it's pretty dramatic terminology he uses here. Children of God who are fallen into sin by inheriting original sin, but also conniving with sin and saying yes to sin in our lives. And that makes us not children of God, but children of wrath. That is, children who will come under ultimately the judgment of God, apart from the forgiveness of sins that comes to us through Christ and through his church. We're subject to God's judgment, which is a way of describing God's wrath, and we're going to be separated from God eternally, as I mentioned earlier, in hell. So Paul is very clear, and the church simply, its own teaching, its own worldview, its own understanding, right to this day, is built exactly on this biblical worldview. It hasn't changed one bit. Now, you might hear a priest here, or a priest there, or a theologian here, or a theologian there, really contradict this. And they'll speak as if somehow the church has advanced beyond it. Don't believe it for one minute. This remains the fundamental truth of reality, of how things actually are. So that's the bad news. That's the bad news, the real news about the human condition. And as a Christian, you should never fear the bad news. You just want to know the truth. But now Paul tells us the good news. He goes on. He said, we were children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So he's talking about the entire human race is in this default position. He goes on, verse 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. So Paul says, God's mercy, his kindness, God has come to us. He's offered us the gift of the forgiveness of our sins and the capacity now, or the opportunity, to be able, through the forgiveness of sins and being baptized and accepting Jesus and following him and receiving this new life, he's made it possible for us to pass from death to life. And Paul's very clear. This is God the Father's mercy. This is his intention. And who's God? Is he just a wrathful, angry being up there stomping around in heaven? Who is he? He's rich in mercy. He has tender mercy, Scripture says. His heart toward you, toward everyone, toward those who hate him the most, is mercy. He wants to bring them from death to life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. This is what God desires for us. That through his love, revealed to us in Jesus, and expressed to us in mercy and kindness, would give us a share in what belongs to Jesus, the head of the new creation. And then he says, by grace you have been saved. He'll say further here that we don't save ourselves. Salvation comes to us as a free gift. That's the beginning of it. I'll talk more about it later. We're running out of time in the program. I'll pick this reading up and then go into the reading we have tomorrow from Ephesians, because it's important. They're very much tied together. So friends, receive this mercy from the Lord. He loves you. He wants to forgive you for your sins, and he wants you to come into full life in him as a son or daughter of God. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.